Thank you, Deanna, for that great playing this morning. That has just blessed my heart this morning. All right. Let's see what time it is here, Mr. Teddy. I'm going to see if we can't get out on time today. How does that sound? Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. It'll be on the screen too. Bear with us this morning. I'm not used to doing stuff on this screen. I normally hand out outlines, but I was told I had to do it on the screen so the folks at home can do it. Slim said we just need to have old-fashioned Sunday this morning. Turn off the screens, open up the windows, and have lots of people saying amen, right?
Amen.
That's right. Nah, that's Pentecostal. We're not going to run up and down the aisles this morning now. So I got to stay in my zone here, though, because I walk. But with the camera, y'all let me know if I get too far this way or this way, because I get to talking and I don't know where I'm going to go. All right. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. It says, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee." Let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can come and get into your word. Father, we love you and we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your son Jesus who died on the cross, who came to this earth and shared miracles to us. God, Father, this morning I ask that you open up our hearts and our minds and help us to listen. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. Amen? This, a former pastor of a church in Bethesda, Maryland, used to offer this as his benediction to his congregation each Sunday. He considered it his most important function for 22 years. You go nowhere by accident. God has placed you right where He wants you. You go nowhere by accident. Today, in this scripture, you're about to witness that not only do you go nowhere by accident, but your Heavenly Father does nothing by accident. He's the master of space and time. When you meet the right person in the right place at the right time and you have no explanation for how it happened, God might be setting you up. Think about that. God-ordained opportunities are so much more than a coincidence. Pastor friend of mine, it's Corey's home pastor, always said this: "There's never any problems, there's always opportunities." And that's the way we need to look at it. Jesus has not put us anywhere that He doesn't want us to be. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God put you there. One of my favorite pastors and authors is a guy by the name of Mark Batterson. And he told a story. A group from his church went to some islands off of Ecuador, and they were praying before they left for divine appointments. On their departure day, they got up early for a 45-minute bus trip across the island of Santa Cruz to catch an airport ferry to a neighboring island. There was only one paved road and almost no civilization between them. That's why the team was so surprised to see a hitchhiker by the side of the road in the middle of the island. They're in the middle of nowhere. The bus driver pulled over and picked up this person. He picked up a middle-aged man. The man's name was Raul. It seemed that Raul had been walking all night, and you could look at him and you could tell that he had been walking all night. And when he got on the bus, you could smell that he had been walking all night. You know, although he could have sat anywhere, Raul sat down in an open seat next to a man named Adam. Adam was one of the few on the team who spoke fluent Spanish. The seat happened to be open because Adam was occasionally lying down on it because he sustained a compression fracture in his back the day before. And so as the two men started talking, Raul shared that he had considered committing suicide the day before. He'd actually tied cinder blocks around his ankles and planned on drowning himself in the ocean because his wife of 30 years had left him. But Adam did more than listen to Raul. He understood how he felt because it had only been a few years since Adam's wife of 15 years had left him, and he had experienced the same type of suicidal thoughts. Of course, Raul asked Adam how he handled the loss, and Adam replied that he turned to Christ and Christ gave him a new life. Although Raul said it felt like God was never there for him, he discovered differently on that bus, on that day next to Adam, by divine appointment. Raul found Jesus on that bus that very day. Coincidence? Or could it be that Jesus supernaturally synchronizes miracles? I don't think so. Listen, we go nowhere by accident. God is ordering our footsteps. God is preparing good works in advance for us. God is setting up divine appointments, but it's our job to keep them. You can't just sit back and wait for God to do something. You can't come to church on Sunday mornings and sit there and go, "Okay, God, what are you going to give me?" It doesn't work that way. We have to make that move. God is going to put us there, but we have to keep those appointments. You see, our Lord and Savior, He's Lord over latitude and longitude. All right, I'm talking about meeting the right person at the right time and having no earthly explanation for it, other than the possibility that God might be setting you up. See, here's a thought I want you to hold on to this morning. You are someone else's miracle. I promise you that. If we could get a hold of that, it would be a game changer for us. So we need to focus on the miracle that we don't need to focus on the miracle that we need. We need to focus on the miracle that we can be. You know, what if we focus on being part of someone else's miracle this week and we see what God does? I've got 5 points today that comes from this scripture this morning. Point number one is wherever you are at, God put you there. See, it says in John 4:46-47, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. See, we all have divine appointments. I believe that God is setting us all up for these meetings, but it's up to us to keep them. If you know anything about me, you know that I was a history major at Southeastern. Love history. It's one of my favorite things in the world. One of the things that I did some studying on, there are some different things about divine appointments. There is a thing between John Wilkes Booth, brother, and Robert Todd Lincoln. Now, Robert Todd Lincoln was Abraham Lincoln's son. See, April 14th, 1864, Act 3, Scene 2 of American Cousin at Ford's Theater, John Wilkes Booth did what? He assassinated President Abraham Lincoln. Now, his son, Robert Todd, was not there, but he was there minutes after it happened. Going on a little bit further, Robert was no stranger to death. He was part of two more presidential assassinations, President James A. Garfield and President William H. McKinley. Talk about being at the wrong place at the wrong time. But think about this, and this is something that I researched and looked up. Months before his father's assassination, months before Abraham Lincoln got assassinated, Robert fell off of a train platform onto the tracks just as the train started to move. A bystander grabbed him by his collar, brought him to safety. That bystander was a famed actor named Edwin Booth. He was the older brother of John Wilkes Booth. Was that providence or coincidence? Think about that. We've all had times in our lives where we get to thinking about stuff and we're going through stuff in our lives and we think, God, where are you at? How are you going to help me? When we need to be saying, okay, God, how can I help you? I know that you're here. I know that you're a part of my life, but I need to be the one going and sharing your love to other people. We all have these divine appointments, but we have to put some effort into it. See, miracles come through effort, not through earning. Think about this. This nobleman, all right, it said that he came to Jesus. Jesus didn't go to him, he came to Jesus. He walked from Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is about 20 miles from Cana, and it's about 700 feet below sea level. So, it was an uphill walk. He took off walking. It wasn't an easy walk to do. It was not an easy walk. And this was a royal official. Did he send his servants? No, he did not. Did he send anybody else? He could have sent some soldiers. No, he did not. He took the effort and he walked himself because he had to get to Jesus. He knew his son was dying. He knew that the only chance was this person that he had heard about that was doing miracles. And so he just took off. He left. Didn't know anything about Jesus, but he knew that he had to get to him. See, earning is an attitude. Effort is an action. We need to put effort into our actions, y'all. We need to get out there and we need to do what God wants us to do. We don't need to just sit there. My grandmother always told me when I said, I can't do that. She'd always tell me, can't don't live here. Did y'all ever hear that before? She would tell me, you can do anything that you want in life. That's what God is telling us. We can do anything that we want. Right now, we've got our nominating and committee on committees working to bring people in to help us out in ministry. We need help. We're growing. We've got lots of ministry growing. We need people to teach. We need people to serve as greeters. We need people to come up here and turn on the air conditioner and turn lights on, whatever. If you need a job, I can give it to you, I promise. We want you to be a part of this church. We want you to feel needed, for sure. We want you to be here. But a lot of times, the only thing that is stopping us from doing ministry is us. Effort is an action. See, most of us are willing to follow Jesus only until it's inconvenient. They're like, oh, no, wait a second. Don't be stepping on my toes this morning. I'm stepping on mine too. How many of you have things that you don't like to do? Well, I'll throw both hands up. They're certain things. I would rather not do it. All right? And growing up, I didn't really have a choice. If daddy or mama said do it, guess what? I did it. Now I'm a grown adult now, and I would like to think that I have some of those values. But there are things that we don't like to do. You know? I don't want to go on a mission trip there. Why would I want to leave this country? I don't want to go to Lake Charles and help them pick up garbage over there. How early do we have to get up to be there? I can't do that. But yet we'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go fishing. Ooh. Ooh. We'll get up at 3 o'clock to go to hunting camp, won't we? Oh, yeah. And I'm not dogging y'all. I love to fish. I love it too, but I think a lot of times in our lives, it has to do with priorities. Where's your priorities at? This man knew where his priorities was at. And was it an inconvenience for him to walk 20 miles? How many of y'all have ever walked 20 miles before? I did it one time. Long time ago. It's actually more than that because we were doing it for a walk for cancer. And we walked all night long. Okay. And that was on a flat track. That's not going up hills. I don't know if I could climb a mountain 20 miles. But he knew that his only hope was Jesus. And he had his priorities straight. See, here's the thing. Sometimes, like the royal official, you have to go back to Cana. You have to go back to where a miracle can happen. Think about this. Zacchaeus, you need to go back and climb that tree. Moses, you need to go back to that burning bush. Peter, you need to row that boat and go back to the spot where you walked on water. David, you need to go back to that very, very valley where you killed Goliath. Jesus told him, when he came and told him about his son, he says, you need to go back to Cana. John 50, verse 4, verse 50 says, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. He went to Cana, and Jesus told him, all you got to do is go back home, and your son will live. Now that took a lot of faith. It took a bunch of faith. See, your effort won't make miracles happen, but your lack of effort can keep them from happening. Where are you at right now in your life? Are you putting any effort into your Christian life? And I'm saying the same thing for me. What are we doing to stand for the cause of Christ in this world today? Where do we need to go back? Point number two. You need to do something you would rather not do. Guess what? We need to be uncomfortable. How many of you, if I would say this morning, and I kind of tested this out a little bit, said, hey, are you preaching for me this morning? Deer in the headlights. Oh, no, I can't do that. No, yes, you can. How many of you like to talk? I do. I love to talk. I used to not. Johnny loves to talk. I know she does. A lot, huh, Johnny? That's right. That's right. You know, my dad loves to talk. My dad does not meet a stranger. I've never seen anybody into my life. But I guess I've gotten a little bit of that from him. If you know me, I try to go wherever I'm at and I try to talk to people. When I'm in Walmart and I go through, I try to talk to the cashiers. I ask them how their day is going. Because I have worked for the public before. Out there. I was at Winn-Dixie for years. That's how I paid my way through college, by working at Winn-Dixie. So I try to ask them how their day's going. I try to share a little bit. If I see anybody in the store when I'm walking around, I say hello. Just try to share things with them. A lot of people will say, well, I can't do that. How do you just talk to people? I don't know. I just strike up a conversation. I was in Walmart the other day. If any of you know me, if you go to my office, you notice I collect toys. I'll be 49 next week, but I have Hot Wheels and Star Wars and stuff like that. It's just me. It's one of my stress relievers. I love to do that. And so I was on the aisle with Hot Wheels the other day, and an older man came up to me, and he started talking to me. He says, you like those? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I've got the original set at my house. And so we struck up a conversation, and I found out that he was a veteran. And he served in Korea, and then he also served in Vietnam. And we were striking up conversation, and he asked me what I did for a living. I told him I was a pastor. And I got to sit there, and I got to share my faith with a man that was much older than I was. But it would have been something years ago I wouldn't have been comfortable doing. If y'all would have told me that I would have been preaching today about 20-some-odd years ago, I'd say, you've lost your mind. I was a little bit shy. Go figure. It's a funny thing. A few years ago, I had some people come from my high school reunion, and they sat right over there, and I got to preach that Sunday. And they came down, and they said, we believe that's the most words that we've ever heard you say in your life. Because I didn't talk a whole lot in high school. I was low-key. I kept under the radar in high school. I did what I had to do, and I would go to work. But God has blessed me to be able to just get up and just talk. But I get excited about sharing His love, and that's the way we need to be. We need to get excited about talking to people about Jesus. They like, you talk to strangers? I said, all the time. You need to be uncomfortable. Whatever that is in your life that's holding you back from sharing the love of Christ, you need to do. That royal official, the Bible doesn't tell us if he was a Roman nobleman or if he was a Jewish nobleman serving under Herod. But one thing's for sure, he didn't have to do anything. He didn't have anything to do with the rabbis. He didn't have anything to do. He didn't have to go his own. He could have sent somebody else. But through his faith, he knew that Jesus was the only way. He would do anything to save his son. And I think I would have been the same way. I think he said, no, I've got to go myself. But see, here's the thing. He recognized ultimate authority. He recognized who Jesus was. See, faith is measured in miles. And he probably walked about 20 or so miles that day, but he knew that was the only way that he was going to be able to save his son. He did something that he was probably not comfortable with because he was the royal official. Nobody had authority over him. He had the authority, but he bowed down to the ultimate authority. Think about this. How many miles have you walked in faith? I believe that we walked a lot of them. I hope that we walked a lot of them. Because He wants us to trust in Him. Point number three. Sometimes God wants to see how serious we are. You have to do the natural so God can do the supernatural. You have to do the work. That's the thing. You have to do the work. You're not going to accomplish anything in life unless you do the work. If you want to learn how to do something, you're going to go to somebody and learn how to do it, I hope. You can't just sit back and go, hey, I want to be a carpenter and not ever pick up a hammer or a saw or anything like that, right? Mm-mm. You have to do the work. Don't wait for a miracle to come to you. We need to go out there. We need to be providing these opportunities. See, effort is a big part of the equation, but effort is a catalyst for a miracle. Then Jesus went up into heaven. He told His disciples to do what? To go. Did he say, okay, I want y'all to sit. Y'all just sit right here. No, He wanted them to go. Now, He did tell them to wait on the Holy Spirit because they needed some help. But He wanted them to go and to preach and to let everyone know about Christ. That is our mission as Christians. We need to go. That's what this royal official did. He didn't wait. He went. He took off. And then when he got there and he told Jesus about the situation, Jesus says, hey, you need to go back home. Guess what? It's done. We don't need to wait for that miracle. See, think about this. The story of the wall of Jericho. Joshua had the angel of God came and he gave specific instructions. How many times were they supposed to walk around that wall? Seven. Yeah, we're going to have Sunday school here this morning. Walk around that wall six times, and on the seventh time, what were they supposed to do? Blow the trumpets and shout, and what happened? The wall fell down. Now, what would have happened if they just stopped on six? Because I know that they got discouraged. I know that they probably came back home to the camp every night, and the wife's just sitting there cooking and asking them, so, well, did y'all get the wall down today? No. Didn't happen. Well, what are y'all doing? I don't know. He's got us walking around this wall, but we're not doing anything. We got to have faith. We've got to do what God wants us to do. We have to listen. How many of you are good listeners? Paul said he's a good listener. His mom was looking at him like he's crazy. Say, sometimes, huh, Paul? You are. Sometimes I'm a good listener. You can ask my wife sometimes. Sometimes I have selective hearing. You can ask her about that too. Because she can carry on a whole conversation and I go, huh? Ladies, y'all have never been a part of that, have you? No. It just doesn't happen. But we need to listen to what God wants us to do. So seven times they did that. Then there's the story of Naaman. He was a big official. He was a great soldier. And he went to go see Elijah, and he didn't even get to see Elijah. He got to see Elijah's servant. Elijah said, just go to the door and tell him what he needs to do. That kind of offended him a little bit. But Naaman had this leprosy, and he had to be healed. And so his servant came to him and said, look, this is what they told us to do. You need to go and dip seven times in the river if you want to be healed. Now he did it begrudgingly. Thought Elijah was crazy. But when he dipped in there seven times, what happened? He was healed. A lot of times we get put into situations when all we need to do is listen to what God is telling us. We have to be quiet, we have to be still. But we get aggravated about it. How many of y'all get aggravated and upset? I do. You can ask my wife. I got aggravated and upset the other day. Somebody threw a rock in my windshield. I was not happy. But guess what? I couldn't do a thing about it. But we need to just be still and listen to God. We need to get into His Word. Are you willing to walk to Cana? Number four, miracles start with His Word. See, miracles make an impact when you mark the moment in time. The royal official believed Jesus immediately when He said His son would live. And that marked the seventh hour. Jesus said this in John 15:7-8. If you abide in Me and My Word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. See, a moment will come when a miracle begins for you. You need to mark it. You need to remember that because that's going to be part of your testimony. But here's the thing. It's hard to believe the Word if we're not in the Word. Let me say that again. It's hard to believe the Word of God if we're not in the Word. We've got to get in the Scripture. We've got to read that on a daily basis. When is the last time that you could not sleep because you got a Word from God? I do. I get restless. And I keep waking up and I said, no, Lord, I want to go back to sleep. It's too early. But I wake up and I have to get up because God is wanting to tell me something. We need to get in the Scripture. We need to get in that Word. Bible tells us that we need to hold fast. We need to steady ourselves in the Word. Bible also tells us that we need to stand still. We need to be still and know that I am God, that He's God. We need to tarry. We need to wait. We need to get in that upper room like the disciples did. And we need to have that time of prayer and wait on the Holy Spirit. We need to be moved. We need to have that stirring in our spirit when God is telling us to do something. 9 times out of 10, when you don't want to do something, guess what? That's God telling you to do it, whether you like it or not. Yeah, because guess what? God's going to get His way. It doesn't matter one way or the other. You're going to wind up doing what He wants you to do. Unless you're just hard-headed or stubborn. Anybody hard-headed or stubborn? I think most of us are. But He wants us to be there with Him. That's why He created us, for Him, for us to worship Him. But we need to get into this Word and we need to learn what He wants us to do. Number five, miracles happen in God's timing. He asked them what time He began to get better. And they said, the fever broke yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And the father knew that was the very moment that Jesus had said, your son lives. See, that clinched it. Not only he, but his entire household believed. See, he had a crisis faith going in there. His son was dying. He was at his very wit's end. There was nothing else that he could do. All he could do was believe in Jesus. That was a crisis faith. Then he had confident faith. And that became confirmed faith. Because he went and he talked to Jesus and said, my son is sick. And Jesus said, hey, he's healed right now. Go back home. But think about it. He had to wait a little bit. He couldn't get right back home. And the Scripture tells us that he asked hey, when did this happen? And they said yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So it had been a whole day before he could get back to his home because they didn't travel at night. So he had to wait and pray and believe and trust in Jesus that everything was fine. Because it wasn't like he could pull out his cell phone and call the servants and go, hey, is everything good? Wasn't email, wasn't anything like that. He had to wait until he got home. How many of us are good at waiting? Ooh. Hey, don't ever pray for patience. I can tell you that right now. Ever. God will test you. We're not good at waiting. We live in a society, like I said before, we want it right now. But he had to wait. He had to trust in Jesus. What do you think? Does Jesus supernaturally synchronize miracles? The royal official checked his sundial to make sure it happened at the seventh hour, so he would have to say yes. See, some miracles may not happen for years. And that's a hard thing for us to understand. It's going to work, but it's going to be in God's timing. Now, some of them are instantaneous, but some of them, it takes a while. You know, I can't tell you how or when these miracles will happen, but if you pray through, God is going to break through. A moment will come when you'll be able to look back and say, that was the moment the miracle began. All we have to do is trust in Jesus. What's the hymn? Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. We need to have the trust just like this royal official had. We have times in our life where life just stinks. We feel like things are not going our way. We get a little pity party going, don't we? And I'm not saying it's not okay to be sad, because it is. But we need to remember, Christ is there for us. If we believe in Him as our Lord and Savior, there is nothing He won't take care of for us. The important thing to remember is to show up. We need to make the effort to seek Jesus through His Word. We need to camp out in a place where faith is required. We all need faith. We all need to trust Him. Jesus never said that being a Christian was going to be easy. He never told His disciples, hey, it's going to be easy. Y'all going to go tell everybody about Me and everybody's going to love you. That's not how it works. Not everybody is going to like you. I'm going to tell you that right now. There might be some people out there that don't like me. But guess what? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We need to remember that. The royal official, who would normally feel superior to a simple Jewish rabbi, sought out the help of Jesus with a simple request. Help my son because he is dying. Notice Jesus' response. He said this. He didn't ask him to withdraw Roman occupation or to change Roman law. He told him, he said, your son will be healed. Jesus healed the official's son at that very moment. There was no strings attached. In the spiritual realm, their roles were reversed, but Jesus freely offered the man a favor without asking for one in return. And so often, if we really look at our lives and remember, we see that giving without an agenda is a catalyst for a miracle. He wants us to give our lives freely for Him because Jesus died on the cross for us. Do you understand what He did for us? He took all of that sin, all of that guilt that we have, He took it and He bore it on the cross for us. Just for us. He didn't have to, but He did that because He loves us. He freely offered that to us. Don't lose heart. Keep praying. Keep seeking and abiding with God. And just like the royal official, you're going to feel your heart skip a beat when you see how others' prayers were answered in your life and how your prayers were answered in others' lives? What are you willing to do to trust in Jesus? Just like this royal official who didn't know anything about Jesus, didn't have to do anything. But he said, my only hope is in this man named Jesus. And so he took off. He asked Jesus to heal his son, and Jesus took care of it in that moment. What is a moment in your life that you need Jesus to take care of? This morning we're going to have a time of invitation. The altars will be open for prayer, but if you need Jesus in your life, if you need to accept Him as Lord and Savior, I'll be standing down here this morning to pray with you. Don't leave this place this morning without accepting the love of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this time. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Jesus. God, I ask You just to be with us as we go through this time of invitation. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.